This is the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program is Christ, the Foundation. The hope for the future of the human family is as bright as the promises of God. Frank, I have had a text of Scripture pointed out to me that is quite puzzling. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18, I read, Jesus speaking, remember, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I have always been taught that it is Jesus Christ, not Peter, that is the foundation rock of the church. But first may I tell our listeners that this program comes through the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. Now, Frank, I have a lot of questions. The first one is, did Jesus make Peter the foundation personality of the true church?
No, Russell, not at all. If you will read the complete text carefully, you will find that it doesn't actually say what you think it does. While the name Peter does signify a rock, Jesus did not say to Peter, "I will build my church upon you."
No, but isn't that what Jesus actually meant?
No, not really. The name Peter is a translation of the Greek word, which means a small fragment of rock. But in the Master's statement, "Upon this rock I will build my church," the Greek word is used which signifies a great foundation rock, like a firm support.
And Peter was not being referred to at all?
No. Jesus merely reminded Peter of the meaning of his name, that it signified a small fragment of rock, and then explained that the symbolic rock upon which his church was to be built could be likened to a great foundation stone. Thus Jesus compared the significance of Peter's name with the great foundation upon which the church is actually built, and which the Master here spoke of as a rock.
Thank you very much for that point. It's interesting. And it is also interesting to know that Jesus used two different Greek words in making this statement to Peter. According to that, the real foundation is Jesus after all.
Certainly. Peter himself makes that plain in his first epistle, second chapter, and the sixth verse, where he refers to Jesus as the chief cornerstone. He knew that Jesus did not make him the cornerstone of the church. Jesus, of course, was pleased when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ," as he did in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16.
Just what was there about this identification of Jesus as the Christ which made it so very important?
Well, the term Christ is one of the many scriptural titles given to the Master. It is first used in the New Testament in the angelic announcement of the birth of Jesus. The angel said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The word Christ is a translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, and throughout the Old Testament prophecies is applied to the great deliverer and savior of mankind whom God promised to send to Israel and through Israel to the entire world. It follows then that when Peter said to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ," it meant that he had identified the Master as the one whom God had sent to fulfill all the wonderful promises of the Old Testament.
Good enough. But I have another question about the church that's built upon the foundation of Christ. Just what is this church?
The word church in the New Testament is a translation of the Greek word ecclesia, meaning a called out or a separated class. Called out from the world, that is, to be associated with Jesus in the work of bringing salvation to mankind. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks of the church as being the body of Christ. In this sense, they are actually a part of the Christ. The scriptures teach that all true followers of the Master are members of this church, which is the body of Christ.
Frank, can any particular denomination be called the true church?
No, of course not. We only know that all faithful followers of the Master are members of his true church. It is not a matter of denomination.
Frank, I have another question. Jesus also said to Peter that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. Does hell have gates?
The word hell in this passage is a translation of the Greek word Hades, meaning the condition of death. It is not a place of torment. In Revelation 1, verse 18, Jesus tells us that he has the keys of hell, or of Hades, which suggests the idea of gates. It is, of course, a symbolic language. The symbolism is evidently based upon the use of gates in the walled cities of that ancient period.
But, Frank, certainly church members would not be storming the gates of hell to gain admittance into the death condition, would they?
Oh, no. I think the picture's the other way around, Russell. Jesus will unlock the gates of hell and free its captives. The purpose of Christ's work as the Savior is to restore mankind from death to life. The church will be associated with him in that great future work of restoring the dead to life.
Does the Bible say that just that clearly?
Yes, this fact comes to light in connection with one of the original promises of the coming Messiah. This promise was made to Abraham, and God said to him that through his seed all the families of the earth were to be blessed. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verses 16, 27, and 29, Paul identifies Jesus as the seed that was promised to Abraham, and then explains that all those who become members of his true church are also considered by God to be a part of this promised seed of Abraham through which all the families of the earth are to be blessed.
Pardon me for interrupting, but does that promise include the families of the earth who have gone down into death throughout all the ages of the past?
Yes, it means all the families of the earth, just as the promise states.
But how can that be? Many of these families are in their graves. How can those who are dead receive blessings?
That's the very point that Jesus is explaining in the statement he made to Peter. He is saying that when the church is complete, the foretold blessings of life will reach the people, all the people, that not even death will prevent God from fulfilling his promises to bless all the families of the earth.
That the gates of hell will be open to all. That is, that the condition of death will end for all in the resurrection. Is that it?
Right. Throughout the centuries since the first advent of Jesus, individual members of the church have gone down into the death condition, the Bible hell, but these are also to be brought forth from death by divine power in the first resurrection. Thus the gates of hell will be opened for them.
But what about the remainder of the families of the earth?
Christ and his church will release the entire human race from hell. that is, from death. By divine power, the gates of hell will swing wide open for all mankind, setting free all the prisoners of death in the resurrection. All these points and many more are discussed in detail in the little book entitled When a Man Dies. Russell, you have read this book. Do you think it is worth sending for?
I certainly do, Frank. And friends, When a Man Dies may be had simply for the asking. It answers many questions which you may have been asking yourself for years. For example, what is the state of the dead, the righteous, the wicked, those not good enough for heaven but too good to be eternally lost? Do you know that there will be an opportunity to repent after death? When will unbelievers be purged from their sins? How many times does the word hell appear in the Bible, and what does it mean? All these questions and many more are scripturally discussed in When a Man Dies. This little book exalts the love of God. So send for your copy today. All you need to do is to address a card or a letter to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for When a Man Dies, and it will be sent to you. May I repeat the address? Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for When a Man Dies, and it will be sent to you by mail without cost or obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.